Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, family owned for the last 60 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Go to the showroom, or if you want a test drive, they will bring out a vehicle right to your home. So you don't have to interact if you don't want to. BillCurryFord.com is where you can start shopping. BillCurryFord.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan, great friend of Ira Kaufman, great friend of JoeBucksFan.com, a great Bucks fan. He's going to give you a discount, and he wants to help you personally find Sean and all the great deals that are up there right now for this year at BillCurryFord.com.
I'll cut him some slack because I think he's great. And I love them.
Florida's Elite Restoration is the disaster company you need to turn to immediately if you suffer any kind of loss in your home caused by water, mold, wind, fire, whatever it may be. Florida's Elite Restoration is there for you 24/7, and they're going to respond. Florida'sElitereStoration.com is where you can get all the information. But we talk about them here on the podcast because we know them and we trust them. And when you have a disaster, you need someone you trust to help you navigate your insurance company situation, and to give you an honest assessment and a free assessment of what's going on in your home. I mean, they'll come out there with their thermal imaging cameras. If you find mold, you want to act quickly. We talk about them all the time because we respect them and we appreciate their support. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're a small company, but not too small to service the entire Bay Area with their A-plus crew of experts. They are true mold remediation specialists, licensed for that. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, we are two games from the Super Bowl, but there's plenty to happen between now and then. This is the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports Podcast, also known as the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. Ira, we are fired up, man. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Sage, I'm going to twist you a little bit, Ira. I'm going to go right to the panic news of the day, which is Alex Kappa's got a busted ankle. Aaron Stinney is starting at right guard. The man has never started an NFL football game. He's going up against the mighty Saints defensive line. This is maybe the most understated story going on, Ira. I'm tense. Soothe me. What should I think about that?
Sheldon Rankins is waiting in full regalia. He's got the Bucks full attention. I will mitigate against this, however, guys. Trey Hendrickson, the guy who abused Donovan Smith so badly this season, coming off the right edge, I don't believe he played against the Bears, and that was a playoff game, so there's no guarantee he will line up against the Bucks on Sunday, and that would be a huge break for the Bucks. Having said that, Donovan Smith played a whale of a game. He did handle Chase Young, who couldn't wait to get a piece of Tom Brady, Lee, and it never happened. That's, to me, the storyline of this game. You know, neither one of these quarterbacks, you can't get to them, Lee. You can't sack these guys. It's unbelievable. And by the way, something's going on in the NFL, guys, because the Pittsburgh game yesterday, Cleveland, you know, Roethlisberger threw 68 balls. Mayfield threw about 35. I mean, that's over 100 footballs. Zero sacks in the game. I mean, zero. How could that be? You can't sack Ben Roethlisberger one time in 68 passes? So, look, we're gonna delve into this Saints-Bucks game plenty. But the Bucks survived, Lee. Style points don't matter, in the words of Derek Brooks. He's right, of course. And I'm going to say right up in front, because I've said this to Buck Nation, and they've heard it. So when you're wrong, you're wrong, Lee. I suggested the possibility that, hey, why don't you bench Mike Evans? You don't need him. You can beat the Washington football team without him. You got all these weapons. Lee, considering the big catches that Mike Evans made in the second half of that game, and the fact that the Bucks didn't show up in the third quarter of that game, I'm not sure the Bucks win without Mike Evans, so I have been humbled, Mr. DeCamper. Humbled.
Well, I don't know if I'll go that far without Evans. Before the game, I just couldn't figure out how Washington, outside of a bunch of turnovers, how Washington could score 20 points. And to me, that game, defensively, was the biggest embarrassment since the Tennessee Reddy game, where they were so ill-prepared for a running quarterback. Arians all but said it after the game, like, hey, we wanted Alex Smith. We knew this guy was giving us trouble because he could run. Well, you prepare for a running quarterback then. And that very much reminded me of the Tennessee Ready game. To people, just a little bit of background, so people know just what an irresponsible lack of a game plan and preparation, lazy love he had. And until the Oregon Pro Day, it was still open book who they were going to pick. Marcus Mariota and Jameis. After the Oregon Pro Day, the organization pretty much came to the conclusion, it's Jameis. Well, you're figuring you're watching tape of those two quarterbacks. At least you would hope Lovey was, because, you know, he had the final say. Well, in the game, in the weeks leading up to the game, Ken Lisenhunt, then the Titans coach, openly, I mean, he was on national radio, he was on NFL radio, we're building a spread offense, because that's what Mariota had in Oregon. And at that time, it was very foreign to the NFL. And Lisenhunt told anybody who would listen, we're going to run a spread offense. We're going to get it, make it so the quarterback's comfortable, and then we'll start phasing in a pro-style set once he gets comfortable. And Lovey, that game, they were so ill-prepared, as like Lovey never saw 2 minutes of film of Oregon. They were running Oregon plays time after time after time and gashing the books, and that was the beginning of the end for Lovey. And from what I understand, the Glazer family was so outraged that Lovey barely survived that evening.
To Lee's point about the Buck defense, I said style points don't matter, but 23 points do matter. And that pop gun Washington offense, Steve, at least they made Buck fans very nervous, you know, going into the fourth quarter. And Steve, you saw Arians after the game, the mug on him on the Zoom call. He was pretty darn disturbed about the Buck defense. He made no bones about it, Steve. They get Devin White. That's a boost without question. You know, but they're stepping up in class in a big way going up against the Saints. So, Steve, we've talked about it so much, the erratic pass rush when it's not there, the secondary is exposed. You can say that about a lot of teams, but you can really say it about this team. Murphy Bunting makes a play, Steve, then he gets beat 5 times. Look, the kid made some great throws, but most of the time, guys were open. Steve, it drives you nuts. And it's a problem they really have not, they have really not fixed it.
Yeah, there were even some drops by Washington mixed in there. And, you know, at this point, this deep into the season, it's just fair to say the Bucs secondary isn't very good. And they don't have the experience to draw from. You know, Arians was on his radio show Monday night, Ira. It was sort of a, they changed the schedule a bit. Arians came on Monday. And he was, you know, very open about how, you know, Murphy Bunting made a nice play. He's got great hands, and damn it, he can't get beat for a touchdown late like that. And he was adamant that we got to get Shaq going. It's been too many games with Shaq, you know, sort of not making it happen. And he wants more rush, and he thinks Devin White will bring a boost. But you know what? He also keeps saying that Minter has played pretty well. And, you know, that interception, that was Minter blitzing right up the gut, right in Devin White's role. And he tipped the pass, and it was caught. So, you know, I'm confident they'll get more production from Devin White, but it's not like Minter's been garbage out there. It's a problem. So they're going to have to outscore everybody, Ira, and I think they can do it.
I think you're absolutely right, Steve. I was asked tonight on Spectrum, how can the Bucks win this game? I said they got to score 35 points and win a shootout, and that might not be enough. Now, a couple of things. Lee, you may not agree. I don't think the Saint offense is as good as it's been in past years. It's not as good.
I agree.
And there's maybe some reasons, you know, Michael Thomas just rounding into shape now. It's almost been a lost season for him. But I think the bigger reason is, you know, Breeze has lost a little bit, just a little. So instead of being, you know, otherworldly, he's just very good. And he is. He's very good. And you can't get to the guy. But Lee, as far as the, you know, in terms of game planning or whatever, if I'm Todd Bowles, Lee, you can't sit in the zone. You can't do it. You couldn't do it against Washington. You certainly can't do it against New Orleans. I don't want Devin White in coverage. You don't want White in coverage. Send him. Whether he gets there or not, they got to account for the guy. And maybe you could, you know, get Breeze out of rhythm. But the secondary's a concern, Lee. There's no question. And what a time for Michael Thomas. You know, I think that was his first touchdown catch of the year, Lee, number one. And that shows what kind of job Sean Payton has done. So, look, it's going to be a tough matchup, but I think the Bucs are a lively underdog for one reason. They got Brady. That's why he's here. And here we are, January 11th. Brady's healthy. He's playing at an awesome level. I think he's a better quarterback than Drew Brees right now. And he gives the Bucs a chance, Lee. And who's slowing down this Buc offense? I mean, 507 yards against a darn good Washington defense, and it could have been more. Godwin dropped about 60, 70 yards worth of catches. This Buc offense is very scary, Lee. I don't know who can slow it down right now. Steve, you don't know this, but I was at Bill Curry Ford with Lee DeKemper. We were there together. I believe it was Friday. I was getting my Cherry Red Escape serviced. Fabulous service department. We went in. We spent some time with Sean Sullivan. Of course, I had a sandwich and a coffee at the cafe. Steve, what a showroom. Unbelievable. Lee's been telling me about this Mustang, white Mustang that had been in the showroom. I was looking for it, and it wasn't there. And Sean said, some guy came in and paid $115,000 for it. Took it away.
From Minnesota.
Yeah, he had it shipped to the guy. So, and they're doing very well. Sean says business is booming, and there's a good reason why, Steve. Their deals cannot be beat. You walk in there, I don't care what kind of credit. I don't care what kind of vehicle you want. You're going to leave a satisfied customer, Steve. So, Lee and I had a good time Friday afternoon with Sean Sullivan.
BillCurryFord.com. That's where you can start shopping 24/7. You don't even have to wait for them to open. BillCurryFord.com. And, of course, you can always reach out to Sean Sullivan directly. He's dying to help you. That's how he is with Bucs fans, and he loves to talk Bucs. BillCurryFord.com.
Yeah, the Bucs offense is doing great. Brady could have had 400 yards easy. Take two drops away, and he's got 400 yards. Yeah, I can see them winning the shootout, you know, sort of like Fitzpatrick and Breeze to
That's
open
right.
the season a couple years. I could see that. So that means every possession is very important. Every possession is very important, so they can't, you know, goof around. They got to score. They got to get points. They got to get 6 points, not 3 points, when they get in the red zone.
That's right, and they didn't play well in the red zone. And, Steve, here's another wrinkle to this game. Tell me what you think, Steve. You got to do balls to the wall. And that I mean, if it's fourth and two from your own 45 in early second quarter, you might have to go for it. You might have to go for it. Maintain possession. Keep the chains moving. Keep Breeze on his keister. You might have to coach your ass off to win this game, Steve, but it's doable.
Well, there's a few layers here since we're talking about the Saints. So just to go back, Ira, Trey Hendrickson, he's got a neck injury, and those can be obviously a little more serious than a strained calf. So I'm not sure if he'll even be back. So that is a nice wash. As you mentioned, Breeze wasn't sacked. And on the flip side, David Montgomery of the Bears, who came into that game really, really hot, they had no running game whatsoever. You know, the Saints own the trenches, and, you know, they're dangerous. But I think what you said is accurate, Ira. In many ways, that game against the Bucs back in November, that was Breeze's best game of the season. He's not the quarterback he was back then after those injuries. And they're not really the same offense. Taysom Hill got hurt in that game. It looked like the kind of thing that maybe he won't recover completely from. I don't know, but they're dangerous as hell, and the Bucs are dangerous as hell too, so I don't know where it's going to go, but the Saints' defense is a step up from Washington. They can't mess around, Iron. I got a question for you. You talked about points. I want to get Lee's take on this too. The Bucs took a 15-7 lead in that game when Chris Godwin caught a touchdown. Can anybody explain to me why they went for two?
Because of that stupid little chart. That little chart tells you, you know, if you're up by 8, you might as well go up by 10. I don't know about that chart. That chart might be antiquated. I don't know about it. You know, all I know is, like Tomlin with the Pittsburgh game, Lee, I think a couple of times he went for two. Sometimes he didn't go for two, you know, after they fell behind 28-0. So you take the points that are there. Suckup is consistent on the extra point. You're not worried about them. And, take the points that are there, Lee, especially early in the game.
You know, there's two things I'm really, really fed up with on Twitter. It's all these know-it-alls that deal with analytics and, like, Oh, you should have went for two. Oh, you shouldn't have won for two. Oh, you should have done this. Oh, you should make up your mind. And these guys, Tom Bastard, he used to work for the St. Pete Times. I like Tom. Don't get me wrong. I had a conversation with him about this. He delves in stats quite a bit. And, you know, he was saying, well, the coach ought to do this. Oh, coach ought to do that. I said, Tom, don't you understand the risk? Do you not understand risk? There's a risk and there's a reward. Is the reward worth the risk and vice versa? Because, oh, your coaches are just scared. Yeah, they make $2 million a year. You think they want to give up that job? If an NFL coach makes a mistake, it costs them a game, especially this time of year, it might cost you your job. The stat geeks, what's it cost them?
Nothing. Hey, I want to get back to something Steve mentioned earlier in terms of missing Alex Kappa. He's a nice player, Steve. I'm not going to argue that. They'll miss him because there's a drop-off, Steve. But, you know, I'm looking at the bigger picture, guys. You got to admit, everybody else is healthy. I mean, they're all healthy. Even Mike Evans looked sharp. And we know Antonio Brown's coming into his own. Godwin's healthy. We'll see about Rojo, but Fournette ran, like a demon. That's by far the best game Fournette's played as a Buccaneer, right on time. And Brady's healthy. So, you know, Steve, I think we got to give a shout-out to the Buck tackles, Donovan Smith and Wirfs. I expected it from Wirfs. I didn't know about Smith. He stepped up. The Saints have some great offensive tackles. They got Armstead. They got Ramchick. That's going to be a problem for Barrett and JPP. So the edge rushers, I think, are going to have some problems on Sunday because they're going up against some good tackles. I like the way Donovan Smith stepped up to the plate.
Well, it was a heroic game for him, and Arians was glowing about him multiple times on Monday. We're not talking about the offseason yet, but it sort of clouds the offseason a little bit. For those who think that, the Bucs should move on from Smith and sign this guy or that guy or all these guys and save his salary. You know, if you got a bedrock left tackle who can get it done against the big boys in the playoffs, that's not somebody you throw out the door. So
no, it's
kind of interesting on that front. But, yeah, great game by Smith, great game by the O-line, except for Ted Larson, who comes in there. And I wanted to ask you this, Ira. So Larson comes in, and he stinks. And then Joe Haig, though, doesn't play right guard. And this was the guy they got as the swing tackle of the offseason, swing guard. He can play any position. And he started against the Saints, was awful. And he's never played again when they had a chance after that for him to play as far as a starter. They used A.Q. Shipley and moved Jensen over. And now they're going to use Stinney. I wonder if this really is a referendum on the Joe Haig offseason pick, and he's probably a guy who's not going to be here next year.
I think you got it exactly right. The Saints game should be imprinted on the back of Haig's helmet, Lee, because Arians lost faith in him. And when a coach loses faith in you, and now it's playoff time, he would be, you know, to me, he's the natural guy to plug in at right guard. He's like third on the depth chart now, you know, if the Kappa goes out. Larson could be ahead of him, Lee. I mean, he was on Saturday night. No big deal. It wasn't a splash signing. The guy's not making a ton of money. Happens every year to every team. You know, you're not going to hit on every one. But it's a problem, right guard. But Lee, they're healthy overall. And if Brady has time, if Brady has time, and this O-line's playing at a strong, strong level now for 5 weeks during this five-game winning streak, he's going to do some damage. They got Lattimore, I understand. Malcolm Jenkins, they got this guy, they got that guy. Please, Brady's going to do damage if he has time.
You know, you're talking about Haig, and kind of glossed over something fairly major. I was watching NFL Good Morning Football this morning for obvious reasons, not just Kay Adams. And Michael Robinson was talking about, hey, one of the reasons that New Orleans blew out the Bucs last year, he really thought this was a major deal, was Haig was playing for Ali Marpet. Well, that's not going to happen this time.
Understood. I mean, Marpet's doing a great job.
What was fun was Brady was mic'd up. And at one point in the huddle, Brady is telling the offensive line, you guys are blocking beautifully.
I love that
quote.
And, Steve, we'd be remiss if we didn't add Rob Gronkowski to the mix good video of Gronkowski doing a great job. And Steve, you know, that's the other part of Gronkowski, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, even if he wasn't a good blocker. Well, he's a damn good blocker, a very willing blocker, great team player, and we know what he can do downfield. So, you know, he's the best tight end of his generation for a reason, and he's kind of a throwback. Lee, you know, the Mike Ditkas of the world, the John Mackeys, they didn't mind blocking. You know, now it's kind of a glorified wide receiver position. Kelsey, you never hear anything about Travis Kelsey blocking. Kittle's a good blocker, Lee. But for the most part, Antonio Gates, guys like that, nobody ever talked about their blocking. Well, Gronkowski's a different breed.
Right, he's a throwback, and I immediately thought of the same guy you thought of, Mike Ditka.
Lee, when you mentioned Tom Brady saying that to the offensive line, I thought about how sometimes in the middle of a podcast, I text Ira, tell him how great he's doing. I just, you know, the same kind of
that's
thing.
That's when you're not ripping me over there, Stevie.
A couple of numbers for you, Ira, and a broader question. Now, this is the sixth time in Buccaneers history, I looked it up, sixth time that they have had a five-game winning streak. And only once have they had a six-game winning streak. So this doesn't happen every year. And you've been around pretty much forever, Ira. And I wanted to ask you this. You know, you're around town. I get that there's a pandemic going on. Things aren't the same as they usually are. But are you feeling the same level of excitement that there was, for example, like back in 97 or 99 or Super Bowl season? Are you feeling that same level of excitement around town? And not only feeling it, are you seeing it? I'm getting a feeling that for some reason, and I have a few theories, that the town isn't as electric as I think it should be.
Well, it's muted. I think that's the word of the day, Lee, in that regard. It's muted, and it's muted for a very logical reason. People are concerned about large gatherings, not around the stadium with 50,000 Buck fans, that we can feel that kind of an energy on a week-to-week basis. You know, the bar scene is a little bit subdued, unless you're going to Big Storm. So, Lee, you know, it's a little muted, but I think it's more private. It's more small groups at somebody's house. But Lee, make no mistake, Buck Nation is very, very excited and energized about what's going on. We hear it from our people on the website and podcast. We hear it constantly, Lee, but we don't see it in a public forum, and it's kind of understandable.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, Ira. It's a little bit muted. That might be a little bit of a strong word. Reserved. I think that might be a better word. It's a little reserved. I mean, people are excited, but like you said, they're not going to the bar scenes. They're not going to the stadium. They're not going to tailgating party because people are scared they might wind up in a hospital. I'm very, very curious to get Steve's other observations why that might be. This communal put your flag on the car and wear Bucks gear all day long. I'm not getting that feeling, and I can't help but think it's because of the COVID.
Certainly, the passion of Buck fans. I think we're doing well in terms of engagement, Steve.
Oh well, Sage, what I'm talking about is I'm not reading or hearing about outrageous, over the top television ratings for Bucks games in town. I'm not seeing everybody wearing gear, like Lee said. The rally flags aren't everywhere. I'm just not seeing a lot of the anecdotal stuff that we're used to. And I'm also wondering if maybe some of that is tied to with the Rays getting to the World Series and the Lightning winning it all. You know, maybe the expectation level or the excitement level is damped down a little bit because we have new expectations. But and also part of it, Ira, I really think that the fact that, you know, there's no newspaper anymore, that people don't read the newspaper. And nowadays it's just a 2-day community thing with, you know, a smattering of online stories. It's just not, you know, something that you have daily hype building in the same way that it used to be. I don't know. It just seems like things aren't as crazy as they should be, you know, and maybe it could just be that the Bucks, you know, didn't have any really big giant signature wins since October.
There's no question. It's reserved. You get around your neighborhood when your wife lets you out of your house, Steve, on those rare occasions. And Lee, you can feel it. You know, Lee, you're in the neighborhood. You're in the supermarket. You're in a dry cleaner. And I see a lot of Buck fans. You know, they're not wearing their Buck regalia. The flags are down. I understand, but don't question the passion of Buck Nation, Steve. It's there.
You led me down this path, and I got to say it. And I know for you, the world revolves around media. So this is a media joke. Do you remember the famous press pull scene with the Three Stooges when they tried to pretend they were sports writers?
You're about to remind me.
Okay. When they first tried to get past the guard, they whoa. The guy said, "Are you members of the press?" And Curly, "I used to be, but I went through the pockets, sort of a dry cleaning." Steve might be on to something, not reading about all these anecdotes, because you know newspapers are what 30% of what they used to be as far as content, not quality of content. I'm talking number of content, number of stories. It's down right. 60-70% from, you know, 15-20 years ago. I'll never forget this, and I love this. If I found out who complained about this, I'd want to burn this person's house down. Some dude in Largo. This is a perfect example how the community was so bonded behind the Bucks back in the, you know, the late 90s and early aughts. Some dude in Largo took fire of the cannons literally. So he's watched the games on TV. He rigged up a cannon in his backyard. And whenever the Bucks scored, he ran outside and he blew off his cannon. I'm not making that up. It's true. And of course, one of the neighbors, you know, like, "Oh, my stars, I can't finish my quilting. This is crazy." And they called the cops on the guy, and he had to stop shooting off his cannon.
Those are louder than the ash cans and cherry bombs in M80s I grew up with, Steve.
Iris sets off a cannon when the Oreos go buy one, get one free at Publix. That's what he does.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Reuben sandwiches.
And Sage, I wanted to throw out there, Keyshawn Vaughn, he had a fumble, which in the playoffs for a young player, that can be devastating. But, you know, they might need him because we don't really know what's going on with Ronald Jones in this pulled quad. And, you know, Fournette obviously got a lot of touches and he had a big game. And that's his game, really, is feeding off lots of touches. But his hands were better. But they may need Vaughn. And what do you think of Vaughn and a little bit you saw of him the other night?
Well, I'll say this. I think the slate will be wiped clean for the 2021 season. Nobody's going to be talking about a fumble in January. But here we are, you know, a few days later. And believe me, Bruce Arians isn't going to forget. Leftwich isn't going to forget. And Mr. Brady is not going to forget that he left the ball on the ground. And you don't do that. And by the way, Lee, that's their only giveaway. No, they got the ball that went in and out of the hands of Scotty Miller. Two giveaways during this five-game winning streak. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good, Lee. Two turnovers.
Vaughn's looking – he was having a nice little game.
I think he's showing something, Steve. I think he's showing something. And I expect the kid to get plenty of action next year. I don't know if Fournette's going to be back. If I had to bet, I would say no. And Fournette helped himself possibly with another team as a free agent.
Yeah.
And if he has another big game against New Orleans, he's going to be in decent shape in the free agent market. Obviously, he didn't get a lot of opportunities with the Bucks because Ronald Jones was averaging over 5 yards a carry. And I can't blame the Bucks for keeping Fournette in the deep freeze. But he had a whale of a game in the nation's capital. And if he plays like that against the Saints, I think the Bucks' percentage chances of winning that game go considerably higher. Vaughn is going to be fine. He's going to get plenty of action next year, but that fumble is still fresh in the minds, Lee. And you know how Arians is and Brady with turnovers probably hurt the kid in the short run.
The thing with Vaughn and Leonard Fournette, we must thank Jason White. And I'm being dead serious when I say this. He built that roster. We've already given him props. But this is why we have to thank White for being aggressive. Now, one of the reasons why, you know, fans were getting fed up with Jason, aside from the losing, they didn't think he was aggressive enough. You know, he was more than willing to be patient with young players and let them develop. Well, part of the reason why the Bucks are losing, these guys weren't getting developed. Meanwhile, they could have other players that were productive, but he, for whatever reason, would not go out and get in. Well, had Jason Light not gotten Leonard Fournette and been aggressive, you know, near the end of training camp, the running back that would have been on the field if Rojo didn't go, and if, of course he couldn't go, the running back who would have been on the field would have been the immortal Dare Ungunbali.
Fair point, Lee. Fair point. Hey, which one of you hoodlums pointed out that that one of the better players over the weekend was one MJ Stewart? Which one of you guys pointed that out?
Well, he had a pick, I believe, in Week 17. He also had an interception. But when you're talking about adding Fournette, which was an excellent move, and we applauded that louder than anybody, I had to laugh thinking back of some of our media brethren who said, oh, my gosh, the Bucs will never add another running back because they just drafted one in the third round. What? Anyway.
You never forget. You don't forget, do you, Steve? You just don't forget.
When it's really smart, I don't forget. When it's really stupid, I don't forget. And so in between, I forget everything. But, Ira, you know, when you Lee was just talking about that and what the Bucs have had this year, it makes a lot of fans look back at 2019 and say, what the hell were Arians and Light doing? How could they have left the cupboard so bare at running back and put the pressure on a young quarterback in a brand-new offense? So it makes you wonder, but that's not important now. What's important is 2020, and that's what we have celebrated, the new Jason Light, the new 2020. And going back through that film, Ira, there were two guys that Brady really screamed at on the field the other night. One was Vaughn, who I guess it appeared he didn't turn the way or wasn't exactly where Brady wanted him on a check down, and it was incomplete. And he also freaked out on Cameron Brate on what was a broken play, and the one time they sacked Brady, he went off on Brate. So, you know, you file that away. But Brate, I bring him up, Ira, because maybe your preseason prediction's going to come true if we can keep rolling in the playoffs. Brate with a couple of huge plays, 80-something yards, his biggest output of the season. So, you know, he dropped a touchdown, would have been a really good
catch.
That
would have been a great catch, Steve. That would have been a great catch.
Would have been a great catch. So, the emergence of Brate, and one thing I wrote about, Ira, the Bucs had, I believe they had five guys who had explosive plays, and some of them had multiple plays of 20 yards or more, and Washington was averaging, allowing just two per game, and the Bucs basically lit them up.
I love it, and you know what? Leftwich called a good game, Lee. You got to give him his props. I saw a screen
pass. I got to be honest.
Wait a minute. I saw a screen pass. I saw an end around by Antonio Brown. I saw Cameron Brate being involved. I thought he had a good game plan.
Do you know for a fact that he's calling plays? I sure don't.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. I am.
Well, if you go look at that mic'd up video that Lee referenced earlier in the podcast, you know, there's a scene there with Brady interacting with Leftwich, praising his play calling, and so that's a fun one there, and that's probably the closest inside look we're going to get in this wild season. Ira, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of your podcast, Big Storm Beer. Now, we know the family there. It is locally brewed, tap rooms in Clearwater and Odessa and down in Cape Coral, but you can get Big Storm all across the state and in many other states. And to find it, go to BigStormBrewery.com. We put out some pictures of Big Storm in Fresh Market and in many great retailers and liquor stores. BigStormBrewery.com. So many great beers to try. The Bromosa, the Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale, the Palm Bender IPA. There's a long, long list, and it's all at BigStormBrewery.com. A great crowd out there for the game the other night, Sage. Zach was out there doing his giveaways on Saturday night, and we'll be doing it all again for the Saints. 6:40 kickoff, Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. 3,000 square foot outdoor area, fully covered. Amazing game watching. It's all brand new. The AstroTurf setup, and of course the indoor tap room is beautiful, and you can sit inside if you want to. So we appreciate Big Storm Beer, and stock up for another great football weekend.
I want to go back to your other point, Steve. And Steve, as you were saying it, you probably knew what I was going to say. Even it's going to be tough for you to disagree. You said, oh, well, what Jason Light in 2020 and Jason Light in 2019, and they didn't make this move and they didn't make that move. Guys, we all know the answer. Everything changed on March 15th. It all changed. The whole world changed. When you bring, and Lee, you know that's true. When you bring Brady in, now you got a chance for Gronkowski. Now you got a chance for Fournette.
I thought you were talking about the virus.
And Steve, you know that's the answer, Steve. And that ramped up Jason Light, ramped up the executive office. with a little heat from the Glazers, I'm sure, applied. Hey, we got Brady. What else are you going to do? We got to help the guy. It's all our chips are pulled in, and that's just the way it is, Steve. And right now, looks like it's working.
Well, I still think Jason Light could have gotten a running back even without Tom Brady, but I know what you're saying, and I agree with you, Ira. Leonard Fournette's probably not here without Tom Brady, and it all dominoes, and obviously we understand the Gronkowski situation. I'm glad you mentioned the Glazers, though, Ira, because, you know, where the hell are these guys? What the hell? Your team is on a roll. Everything's historic. The sports town is ignited, and these guys are at every game, and they're in the cone of silence. They don't want to say anything publicly for who knows why. It's just bizarre, Ira. I don't, you know, and it's their right, and maybe a lot of people don't want to hear from them, but it's just bizarre. Things are good. You know, crawl out from the hole and say hello.
You know, we've heard so many times from people, it's not their nature. It's not their nature. Well, maybe it should be their nature a little bit. Because, Lee, we're not asking for Jerry Jones. We're not asking for Jerry Jones. We're not asking for Arthur Blank. Keep your butt in your suite. Don't go down there every game with 5 minutes left. We don't need to see that. But Steve's right. Lee, they just broke, you know, the NFC's longest playoff drought. They just won a playoff game, first time since the Super Bowl. They went 11-5 during the regular season. They signed Brady. But we don't hear from them, Lee. We don't hear from them. They're back there. They're pulling some strings, and they've pulled a lot of good ones this year. But a little more visibility wouldn't be such a bad idea.
Well, our photographer always gets them, so that's visibility for me. Maybe it's just me, but I don't care. I think they've done a great job. I'm happy for them that their franchise is finally out of the gallows. They're no longer the fire hydrant of the NFL. But, you know, is it going to mean another victory if they talk? I just don't see the real importance. I mean, if I was a sports writer, you're damn right I'd want them to talk. But, you know, just talking as a fan right now, whatever.
I know.
You know, I feel like Joe Benigno. When Joe Benigno, who retired, he worked for WFAN, and one of the cable TV stations had him as like a Knicks analysis or Nets analysis. They were having a press conference for a coach, and he was sitting in the studio. And the TV shows, the cameras are rolling, and he's an analyst. He's on the set, and they asked him, like, what do you want to hear in the press conference? He's like, who cares?
Hey, Steve, you know, we're going to do another big, big podcast later this week, and I'm going to set it up, Steve. I'm going to set it up because I think it's an interesting question, and I'm going to give you boys a couple of days to think about it. Because it's that deep. But, Steve, we all know if they would have lost in Washington, it's a disaster. It's an unmitigated disaster.
What if they lose? What is this?
And, Steve, what if they lose? They're an underdog. What if they lose? They're expected to lose. Most of the national pundits will pick the Saints. If they lose, gentlemen, has it been a wasted season? Has it been a bad season, all things considered? I'm going to give you 48 hours to sit on that, DeKemper. What do you think of that?
If it was a wasted season, they would have lost?
If they lose to New Orleans. Is it a wasted season?
Do you want me to answer it now? Or
I want you to hold your peace till our next podcast.
Okay.
Steve, what else you got on your mind, baby?
Ira, you better not ask me to hold my peace. I'll tell you that much. What the hell's going on here? Look,
Steve, don't get into it until the next pod. It'll fall off the whole 45 minutes.
Pissed off
now. Steve, my piece is my Smith & Wesson 9mm.
There you go.
Steve, you putting any stock into this, it's so tough to beat the same team three times in a season. I don't care what the history books. As a matter of fact, I think the history books show that when you swept the team, you usually beat them the third time, too. So, yeah. I don't really care about that statistic.
Well, I think it's fair to say that no matter what the sport is, Ira, familiarity with an opponent makes for tougher competition. No matter, you know, it's an equalizer. It's not a great equalizer. But if I play you seven times in tennis, Ira, maybe by the fourth time you don't kick my ass as bad anymore because I understand where your strengths and weaknesses are. And it's not like the Bucs are devoid of talent. It's not like they can't match up talent-wise with the Saints. So I think it does factor in specifically in this situation. It's one thing if the other team is just, you know, way better than you, but I think some of the mistakes and the issues can be tightened up a little bit. But it's a tough road because I think the Saints are a little bit better, and the Bucs' weaknesses are bigger than any of the Saints' weaknesses, in my opinion.
The Saints have five in a row over the Bucs. Five. That goes before the Bruce Arians era, before he ever came here. I understand that, but he's responsible for four of them. You know, they got a lot of swagger against the Bucs. I don't know if that's going to matter on Sunday, but Lee, the Bucs just—they don't seem to match up well against that organization.
Yeah, it seems like Dennis Allen knows what he's doing against Arians.
I still haven't gotten over the shock of the 38-3 because of the timing, guys. It started the second half of the season. It was I believe it was game 9. The Bucs were 6-2. They had won 3 in a row, right, Steve? They had won 3 in a row, got to 6-2. I claim they had the Saints on their minds, you know, back in their minds since week 1. I went around telling everybody, I went on New Orleans radio, the Bucs are going to kick your ass. It's not even going to be close. And Steve, I don't know. That game still leaves a terrible taste in the mouth of every Buc fan.
Have you been back on New Orleans radio since?
They haven't called me this week, and I don't expect them to.
And I heard you on NFL radio crowing about how the Bucs are going to take down the Saints.
I believe I did that too, Lee. I believe I did that too. Steve, the depth of that beating, that embarrassment, can you get over that, Steve? Or does that show that they got the Bucs' number?
Well, I think you can get over it because of how much time has elapsed. You know, it's not like this was the December 13th pounding. It's a long time ago. I mean, they're 5-0 since the bye week. It's ancient history. The offense is clearly clicking at a level that it wasn't close to before. And so I think the team, at least mentally, feels like, you know, that we're a totally different team now. But you know what? If they get down 13-3, they may not have the confidence they need to overcome that, even though obviously Brady is going to not have an issue with that. But defensively and otherwise, they might have some problems. And as you always say with the Saints, Ira, and I know it's coming when you talk to Bruce Arians again this week, they play incredible special teams, and you know, that's often the difference in the big games.
Funny you mentioned that, Steve. I was talking to my guy Rick Goslin today out of Dallas. He's the guy that does the special teams rankings every year. And a lot of people within the league, are very interested in his rankings. And he goes through every category and assigns a grade. Well, anyway, he's coming out with the rankings on Wednesday, but he gave me a heads up for special teams. Buc fans aren't going to like it, and Saints fans will like it. So that's what he said. And that's an edge, Lee. That's an edge for New Orleans. I mean, what can you say? Their return guys are good. It gives them an edge, a little step up on everybody. But suck up, you know, his reliability, Lee, it's cleaned up a lot of stuff for the Bucs.
Suckup's cleaned up a lot of stuff, but that return game at Washington was so sloppy. This is a broken record. They don't have a return game. What passed as a return game was so sloppy. Remember that one Washington punt where it looked like both Bucs return men didn't, you know, it was like, you're getting it? No, I got it. No, you got it. No, I got it. And it almost looked like the ball hit somebody, and I thought Washington was going to return it for a touchdown. I almost had a stroke.
Didn't the breakdowns in Bucs special teams contribute significantly to the week 1 loss to the Saints, Stephen? I believe they did.
Yeah, I mean, they've cleaned up quite a bit from earlier, and, you know, Suckup made 4 of 4 the other night, missed an extra point early. But I think the Bucs have been better. I wouldn't call them very good, but I'd say they've certainly been a lot better. And Goslin, in his rankings in recent years, has had the Bucs as dead last in special teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've improved. It's not great, but it's certainly improved. Ira, you know, I'm going to end this podcast early because, frankly, I'm still offended that you expect me to sit around for 2 days and ponder whether this is a failure of a Bucs season if they lose to the Saints. I'm appalled. I'm offended. I'm not doing it. I'm not holding my peace, and we'll get to that next podcast.
Well, I didn't give my answer either, Steve, so don't assume anything from me. Don't assume.
I'm not assuming anything.
I got a question for you, Ira. Do you know when the last time JPP or Shaq had a sack?
I got to think it's 3 or 4 games.
December 15th against Minnesota.
Wow. Game 13. Now going into game 18. Wow.
You know, someone's got to give those guys a wake-up call. Someone's got to get them out of witness protection program. They need Shaq and JPP to put a quarterback down.
I think Arians is getting a little frustrated with Shaq Barrett at the moment.
Sounded that way on his radio show, but you know they need to snap Shaq out of it. One thing Arians said, which you know it's interesting, but it goes back to how we started this podcast with Lee talking about the Bucs not being well prepared at all. You know, defensively. Arians was clear that they expected Alex Smith to play, and he said yes, they prepared for Taylor Heinicke, but they were probably a lot more vanilla on the blitzes and other packages than they would have been if they had prepared solely for him, which might have affected the pass rush. To me, Ira, there's no excuse. Week 17, I'm sorry, there's just no excuse. Maybe you believe there is a good excuse, or that is legitimate. Curious what you think there.
Well, I'm with you on this one, Isbitz, because Lee, the reports coming out of Washington, the Bucs had no reason really to think that Alex Smith was definitely going to be under center. It was a real, real chance he wasn't going to be. It wasn't like it was a shocker. So I'm not buying any excuse that the Bucs had all their defensive game plans geared towards Alex Smith and were absolutely taken by surprise. I'm not buying that, Lee.
I'm going to make a prediction. And I love Shaq. You guys know it. I love Shaq. The reigning NFL sack king, although he's not going to hold that title much longer. If Shaq doesn't have a sack through the postseason, who knows how long that will be. My prediction is the money that Shaq was going to get, it's all going to go to God.
He's costing himself money right now. There's no question about it.
I mean, you think about it. Who's more important to the Bucs right now? Godwin or Shaq? And I love Shaq, but if we've seen the best of Shaq already, meaning he won't get a sack in the postseason, however long that is, the money that Shaq was going to get next year or even offered next year, it's all going to go to Godwin.
You know, and Steve, we'd be remiss on the podcast at the end when, you know, we've reviewed the Washington game in depth. And Steve, we got to say, Godwin, in the second half, he was god-awful. He was terrible. You know, if he was a rookie, you don't know if he'd play the next game. And the reason it was so shocking was it's Chris Godwin. This is the guy that Brady says got the best hand he's ever been around. Brady's been around 2 decades. So, you know, no excuses. He's healthy. I think he lost his focus. I'll cut him some slack because I think he's great, and I love him. But that's a terrible half of football for Chris Godwin.
Sage, before we get out of here, I am going to give your devoted listeners a chance, a glimpse behind the scenes to how you operate as the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. I wasn't going to do this, but you just brought it up, so I've got to do it. And first, I want to remind everybody that Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. And, of course, their tap rooms are in Cape Coral, Clearwater on 49th Street, and right there in Odessa off State Road 54 on Success Drive. And we love, as we heard earlier, from Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're your mold remediation specialists, your ultimate disaster specialists in the Bay Area and beyond. Florida's Elite Restoration. And, of course, our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, BillCurryFord.com. Sage, you were just talking about Chris Godwin and his drops, and I'll let you go out on this. Is it true, Ira, that you called the general manager and said, hey, Jason, what's with Godwin dropping those footballs?
I believe that is a true story. I believe that is a true story. And the answer was it was one of those nights. He was shocked because it's Chris Godwin. But, that's a true story, Isbitz. You love dropping in these little pearls at the end of every podcast. Who knows what you're going to come up with In a couple of days, Stevie.
Lee, this is how Ira operates. He calls the general manager after the biggest win of his career and says, hey, tell me about these Godwin drops. What do I need to know?
Now, wait a minute. That wasn't the whole conversation. It started off with a congratulations. So let's keep things in perspective over there, DeKemper.